Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Maestro, here's a question for you, the great guru of the radio airwaves. What is your take on social media? What do you think about social media? Facebook, Twitter, Spitter, all that stuff.
I actually get to the point sometimes where I don't like it. But I see where it's very important at times. I need it at times. But there are some things about it I do not like.
I got you. Fair enough. Well, I kind of think it's a spawn of Satan myself, actually. I hate it with a passion, but you're right. It's got its uses, and it definitely has its place in this world. If I can just play off of our new intro music here, hey, welcome to Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and at Career Callings, of course, our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. You can join us by phone, text, or email at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or Robbie at careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I wanted to talk about social media today in the job search, because the more I read and study about careers and career-related matters and how to find God's calling in your life, how to pursue God's calling in your life, time and time again, you run across this theme about how social media can be used by a job seeker and is definitely used by HR managers hiring people. And one of the statistics I've run across, and of course you hear different numbers from different people, but basically the one I've run across most recently is that approximately 92% of people of companies are using social media in some way, shape, form, or fashion in their hiring decisions. And they're looking at social media platforms that their prospective hirees have out there, their Facebook accounts, their Twitter accounts, their Instagram accounts, their Spitter accounts, Twitter accounts, whatever else they've got accounts. They're looking at those things to get a better feel of who these people are who are applying for jobs with them. And the reason for that trend is because really, a resume, what do we do with a resume? We put our absolute best foot forward, And, a lot of times, that's not necessarily the whole picture. We're only giving people the best side of ourselves in those resumes, and that's why so many hiring managers are going beyond just the resume. If your resume is good enough to catch their attention, that's great. A lot of resumes just get thrown into the trash. I had one guy I was talking to that has been in the HR business for years, and he's told me it takes about 30 seconds to glance through a resume and decide whether or not they want to take the next step. But if they get one that they think is attractive enough to take the next step, one of the first next steps they will take is taking a look at the social media platforms that are tied to that human being. And the whole idea is because, like I said, the resume inflates ourselves. We use the resume to inflate ourselves a little bit, to focus on our strengths totally, and that's fine. That's what it should do. But going online, finding out who we are on Facebook and Twitter and all these other things gives that HR manager a little bit, if I can say, broader picture, deeper picture, fuller picture of who we are. And if we are over-inflating who we are, or if we're painting a totally different picture on our resumes from who we are in real life, it'll become pretty apparent when they're looking at the social media platforms. And by looking at those things, these HR managers can pretty much figure out whether or not we behave or think in a way that is consistent or inconsistent with their corporate values, with how they like to operate their teams, with, in some instances, whether or not we can really fit the bill of doing the job that they want us to do. So bottom line is, the social media presence that you have, that I have, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, or non-existent, certainly if you have any kind of social media presence, Whether you know it or not, it really does advertise to the world who you really are. Because a lot of people relax a lot in their social media presence, and they put things on there that they would not necessarily tell an interviewer in the interview or in an initial interview on the phone or in person or whatnot. Just to kind of illustrate this, let's hear this report from the great Stephen Colbert about how this works for him.
One of the ways I'm keeping the public's eye on me right now is social media. I am all over Facebook, MySpace, Foursquare, Reddit, LinkedIn, Google Buzz, LiveJournal, Blippi, Twitter, Tumblr, Flickr, Muffler, Flumpler, and let's say Gargler. All this online openness comes with a price.
I know people who've been let go of their job because they shared a little bit too much about what they were doing online.
If we're hiring an intern or a new employee, the first thing you do nowadays is go online and look at their Facebook page.
You know, the pictures of you shooting back tequila shooters, pole dancing, not information that your employer wants to see.
Especially if you're working for your dad. Even Barack Obama knows the dangers.
I want everybody here to be careful about what you post on Facebook.
And the president has been very careful. I have checked Facebook, and I could not find a single photo of him praying in a mosque. So, I photoshopped one. It's on Twitter. It's on the Twitter, so internet, do your thing. The point is, if you're not careful, your online past could destroy your offline future.
And that is so true. And by the way, I actually have a copy of that Colbert picture of Obama in a mosque praying. I've actually got that framed over my desk at home. It's quite entertaining. He did a good job, actually. Did a very good job with that feat of technology. But Colbert's right. And, of course, he made some great fun of it all. But it just goes to drive home the point. What you do on the web with your persona, who you are, through your social media outlets definitely has an impact on you as a person for everybody, but including the folks that you might want to go to work with. So I wanted to kind of just talk about this for a while, and I ran across an article not terribly long ago called 45 Things Successful Job Seekers Do on Social Media. Now, we're not going to go through all 45 tips on this radio show. That would take way, way, way too long. But I do want to hit a few of the highlights that really stood out to me. Because there are some interesting things in the article that that I had never considered, and not being a social media guru myself, it was quite educational. And of course, as always, I will link to this article on my website, careercallings.net/radio, and you'll be able to pull this down, read it for yourself, and also listen to the commentary through the podcast there. But this was written by Erin Greenewald. And she's a writer for themuse.com, and this particular article also got republished on time.com. And she kind of broke the 45 tips down into several different ways, kind of like roughly 10 tips in general for all your social media platforms. And then she gave some tips for your Twitter account if you have one, your Facebook account if you have one, and so on and so forth. And we'll just hit a few of them from time to time. The first one at the very, very top of the list, number one, get everything squeaky clean. And that makes perfect sense. Matter of fact, that Colbert clip that you heard there a second ago, one of those, I think it was a lady, I didn't know her name, didn't catch her name, but she said, you know, if there's pictures of you on there with tequila shooters and pole dancing and things of that nature, you know, that's probably not going to sit too well with your prospective employer, regardless of whether or not it's your dad you're going to work for. Okay, it's not going to look too good. So keeping your social media presence squeaky clean is extremely important. And Erin Greenewald, who wrote this article, is taking it beyond just what that lady in that Colbert clip said. It's not just a matter of getting embarrassing events off your social media. It's not a matter of just getting profanities off your and hopefully nobody listening right now does that on their Facebook page. But just in case, you want to get that kind of stuff off. But it also includes things that might be considered divisive or superbly offensive, and I'll leave it up to you to decide what that might be. But nonetheless, you want to keep things as squeaky clean as possible, as full of integrity as possible, so that when somebody does, who might be a potential hirer of you, a company that you might go to work for, they might not be turned off and have the immediate reaction of, ooh, do I really want that person here? You know, you want it to be something that impresses them. Number two, you don't have to have an account on everything. There is Facebook, there's Twitter, there's Instagram, there's Pinterest, there's Tumblr, there's Foursquare, Reddit. There's a bunch of stuff and that I just threw out there, and a bunch of other stuff I don't know anything about. It would be humanly impossible to have a presence on all of those things and keep up with them. And that's what Erin is mentioning in her article here. Just, you know, you don't have to have 15 different social media platforms or accounts, but get two or three that you can stay on top of, keep up to date with, because if your potential employer finds out that you have two or three or four or five different platforms that you never do anything with, they're not going to be able to learn anything about you from them, and that'll be a negative for you, not a positive. So every job seeker, every person in any kind of business really ought to have a LinkedIn account. That's the main social media platform for business networking, LinkedIn, and certainly should have that. Also, it's a good idea to have a Facebook account and a Twitter account as well, and we'll talk about why later on here as we go through this article. But those two things are the very bare minimum. Show your employers that you do have a personal side as well. LinkedIn's kind of like an online, hey, I'm a business person, I'm a really good person to go to work with or to have work for you type of website. It's almost like an online resume. But Facebook and Twitter gets more into who you are and how you think and what your behaviors are, what your values are. And that'll be something your potential employers want to check into as well. Next, you want to keep your image professional and consistent. What does that mean? Well, you should have a clear, friendly, recent, and appropriately professional image of yourself across those platforms. If you're 42 years old like I am, you don't want to have the 22-year-old picture when you still had a lot of hair, no wrinkles, and I think I might have still had braces back then. I'm not sure. You don't want that picture. You want to be a little bit more current, a little bit more accurate. You want to be consistent. And professional doesn't necessarily mean that you have a glamour shot, okay? Just you want to have a clean, crisp look. And there you go. Get number five, get your personal branding down. And personal branding, there's a lot to that, and we won't be able to get into all that here today. But one of the things that personal branding does for you is it helps you have the same feel across all of your websites. If anybody saw you on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, they know what you do and which direction you're going because you branded yourself as being that kind of person doing that kind of thing. And we'll pick up with the rest of these great suggestions for social media presence on the other side of the break. Career Callings, Robbie Romeiser.
Notice how technology, screens, and teens seem to go together? From smartphones to computers and 60-inch TVs, young people are all but glued to them. Ultimately, though, there are advantages and dangers to it all. And on the next edition of Breakpoint This Week, John Stone Street welcomes author and researcher Dr. Kathy Cook to discuss these pros and cons and to help parents provide proper guidance. Don't miss Breakpoint This Week,
Sunday afternoon at 1:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
I heard a famous author say once that no matter how fantastic your book is, it will never be a best-selling book until you promote, promote, promote. The same is true with whatever you're trying to sell, whether it's a product for work, a fundraiser for your school, or a nonprofit's message to the world. Great signage is the foundation of any marketing effort, and no one is better at providing you with great signage than my friends at Signforce. Joey Harrison and his staff are a one-stop shop for all of your marketing needs. Handcrafted signs, vehicle wraps, screen printing, embroidering, business cards, and brochures, there's nothing the folks at Signforce can't do. I've personally used Signforce for signage for my business and for our church, and Signforce has beautifully wrapped two buses for our Christian school. If you need to promote anything, Signforce will deliver a great product at a great price and with great speed. Give Joey and his folks a call at 864-582-3600 or check out their website at signforcesc.com. That's 864-582-3600, signforcesc.com.
Hey, sweetie, what's going on?
Well, honey, I have some news.
Okay, what?
All that training paid off. I got the job.
Oh, I knew you would get it. So when do you start?
When you donate stuff to Goodwill, you help provide job training for people right here in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org.
Michael is an adoptee himself. Gina was a birth mother at age 20. Together, the Smiths have adopted children. And through all of these experiences, they are uniquely qualified to share the love of Christ with all parties involved in the adoption process through Hope Embraced Adoption Agency. Hope Bound Ministries has partnered with the Smiths to make adoption services available to families who otherwise would not be able to afford adoption services. To donate to or to apply for financial help regarding the Smiths' adoption services, please visit hopebound.org. That's hopebound.org.
Disappointing economic news from around the globe.
The recession and the fear that a U.S. slowdown will spread around the globe.
We're your station for teaching and talk in tough times.
You're listening to Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back. Robbie Romeiser with Career Callings. Join us at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or robbie@careercallings.net, R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Just before the break, we were talking about social media and how to position yourself so properly to use social media in your job search, and we kind of wound up the first segment with discussing the idea of a personal brand so that you can help people understand who you are, what you do, where you're going, no matter what kind of social media platform that they are looking at you with. And there's a couple of things I want to say about that. Number one, a fantastic idea I've run across more than once is that you want, you know, if it's your thing to write, and hopefully it is, if it's not, I understand that. But if you are a content writer, what you really ought to do to help develop your personal brand is to create a website, a blog. And there are so many free blogging platforms out there, and many of them are very easy to use. Of course, you've got your bloggers, you've got your WordPress, and so many others that you can investigate. But you can establish a simple free blog and just write about your area of expertise and build that blog, that website around who you are and what you do. And you want all of your social media platforms to point back to that place. Because, you know, if a hiring manager starts looking at your social media presence and in whatever way it's there, and it takes them back to this blog where they can really dig deep into what you think like, how you think, how you solve problems, why you know what you know, how well you know what you know, they really get a good feel for whether or not you can solve their problems. And if you can give them that indication through that medium, then you're going to be a lot more likely to be called in for an interview. Now, of course, one of the things you want to make sure you do in your personal branding is take advantage of one of the newest trends in marketing. Whether you're marketing a business or marketing yourself, there is something that is a trend that everybody should take advantage of. And that the idea is if you can tie yourself to this new type of advertising, the odds are pretty good that you'll get any job that you want. It's called catfertizing.
We're seeing a shift in consumer habits. Everything is moving towards cat videos. And the agencies that don't realize that will get left behind.
Cat videos are an unbelievably effective new business tool.
We've seen phenomenal growth in this category. We're taking that learning and applying it to our business model.
In 2012, John Street will lead the industry into a brand new communications era with the launch of the world's first and only catfertizing agency.
Cat videos provide an excellent return on investment. The costs are minimal. It's win-win.
By 2015, cat videos are going to represent 90% of the content on the World Wide Web. It's proven results.
Using the four pillars of creativity, we provide work that's persuasive, unignorable, relevant, and rememberable. Our goal is to integrate cat videos into every stage of the customer experience, 24/7, 365,
To facilitate this change, we've incorporated our own Cat Video production studio.
Okay, we're rolling.
Filming, writing, seating, all completely in-house.
Creating a good cat video is no accident. A lot of people think you just show up in a room with a camera and a couple of cats and start filming, but they take a tremendous amount of planning. We storyboard every frame. We actually created our first cat video in February of 2008. Cat approaches the camera slowly from afar, then the camera would pan to the right, and then when it comes back, the cat's closer. Really, I think that was the kind of magic moment in the spot. It kind of came up seven for us, I guess, you might say. You think sometimes you're going to run out of material with cats, but you never do. You come in on Monday and you go, trombone cat, and it's excellent.
In an era of unprecedented change, there's one agency with the courage to change everything.
Nobody wants to see ads anymore. They want cat videos.
Ask yourself, what can cat videos do for your business?
Cat videos, the wave of the future. Now, I do highly recommend that you do not include in the cat video on your job search website the process of cleaning the litter box. That's the part that's not so cute. Trust me, I've had cats for years. I speak from experience. Now, back to the social media. To advertise yourself in the job search, another thing you want to do is put whatever social media platforms you have on your job search materials. There's nothing wrong with putting your Facebook page or profile or URL, whatever you want to call it, or your Instagram or whatever you're on. Put it on your resume just so that your hiring manager can know how to get there to your Twitter account, to your Facebook account, and see that. Mention your industry-specific network in your cover letter, in your social media presence as well, in your cover letter with your resume. And then before we delve into a couple of the more specific social media platforms, here's one last suggestion I want to share with you. Use scheduling tools. You know, life is so busy. It's so easy to put the social media stuff off. I am extremely guilty of that. But if you're going to really do these things with social media so that you can paint a picture of yourself to the world that you want them to see, it's going to take regular updates to that social media presence. So if you have two or three or five accounts, however many you got, just one account, do schedule regularly to try to keep up with updating, changing, adding content to your various social media platform so that it stays fresh out there and doesn't become stale. And one particular scheduling tool that you could use a good old calendar system, but there's actually a program out there called Buffer, B-U-F-F-E-R. Buffer is a good scheduling tool that will help you stay on top of your social media updates. All right, just for a second, I do want to talk about Twitter for a second. I'll be honest with you, I've had a tough time trying to get a hold of Twitter. Get my brain around that one. But after reading and learning a little bit more about it, I'm planning to actually do more with it. And this is why. Twitter gives you an ability to become a thought leader. And I never really had thought of it that way, but it does. I mentioned LinkedIn earlier. LinkedIn is really a great online resume, but Twitter gives you a chance to give your thoughts out piecemeal to people and share information with people. And through the sharing of that information, that you can generate a following, and people will come back regularly and see what you had to think about, or how you're thinking about a particular topic, or some news story that you found interesting that they'll find interesting. Read a story about a guy not long ago. He had so many followers, so many millions of followers, he ended up being able to sell advertising on Twitter. But you know what his concept was? Stuff he's reading on the web every day when he's bored. If he finds an interesting thought, he just puts it in a Twitter feed. And pipes it out there. And it's about all kinds of random stuff. But he had millions of followers. Famous people, like, I think one of the names thrown out in the article was Paris Hilton. You know, was one of his followers. And this guy's making $500,000 a year in advertising sales on Twitter. There's a source of income there for you. But why was he able to do that? Because he became a thought leader, sharing his thoughts about random things through Twitter. Now, Facebook is the Mac Daddy, of course, of all social media platforms. You got to have a Facebook presence. And before I get into a couple of tips on how to use Facebook properly, I think there's something you should know about the truth regarding Facebook.
Congress today reauthorized funding for Facebook, the massive online surveillance program run by the CIA. According to Department of Homeland Security reports, Facebook has replaced almost every other CIA information gathering program since it was launched in 2004.
After years of secretly monitoring the public, we were astounded so many people would willingly publicize where they live, their religious and political views, an alphabetized list of all their friends, personal email addresses, phone numbers, hundreds of photos of themselves, and even status updates about what they were doing moment to moment. It is truly a dream come true for the CIA.
Much of the credit belongs to CIA agent Mark Zuckerberg, who runs the day-to-day Facebook operation for the agency. The decorated agent, codenamed the Overlord, was recently awarded the prestigious Medal of Intelligence Commendation for his work with the Facebook program, which he has called, quote, the single most powerful tool for population control ever created. Among the biggest successes of the Facebook program is Operation Farmville, which the CIA credits with pacifying as many as 85 million people after unemployment rates rose dramatically. Other features, such as the suggested friends window, have been instrumental in allowing government agents to infiltrate deeper into the friend networks of suspected dissidents. For some expert analysis now on the story, let's check in with the Fact Zone's first responders. Jason, you have written extensively about the Facebook program. Why is it so effective?
Well, one of the key reasons is that the CIA has been so thorough in convincing the nation that constantly sharing information about everything that you're doing is somehow desirable instead of deeply unsettling.
Yeah. You know, but critics are saying that with the national debt being so high, is this really the time to be spending even more money on spy programs?
Well, actually, the Facebook program saves the CIA money.
That's right.
Like the Maps application, where you list every place that you've been, whether it's at the state or a country.
Right, with the little pins to show where you visited. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
I like that.
That kind of information would have taken the CIA months of going through hotel receipts and plane tickets to figure it all out. The manpower that Facebook saves is huge.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the calendar feature even lets the CIA know where you're going to be in advance.
So now if they want to pick you up for questioning, all they have to do is see which events you RSVP'd yes to and then send their agents to be waiting for you.
That's how they got my brother.
That's right.
So effective. Mm-hmm. But guys, with all the focus on the Facebook program, is it taking away from some of the other CIA programs like the Twitter initiative?
The funding for that should be cut entirely.
Right, 400 billion tweets and not one useful bit of data was ever transmitted.
Oh, that's true. Now, is this trend of social network information gathering dangerous? I mean, just last week, the New York Times revealed that Al-Qaeda has designed Foursquare to identify popular locations for bombing.
Actually, Brooke, that's been discredited as any kind of real threat. The people that use that site are people that no one would mind seeing bombed anyway.
You know, I'm, of course, a big fan of any social networking site. It allows me to interact with my fans without having to see, hear, or smell them.
Well, there's the truth about Facebook, and here's a tip or two real quick about how to use Facebook in your social media job search. You know, you want to keep most of your stuff on Facebook private to your friends and so on and so forth, but it's a good idea that while you're keeping most of your photos, wall posts, and likes in your personal About Me relationships, keeping a main public photo and information about your employment and educational info public is great so that people searching for you can find out about you that way. And make sure you make professional status updates public as well so that people searching about you can see what that is regarding you yourself on Facebook. All right, thanks for joining us today on another edition of Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser. Of course, visit careercallings.net/radio for a free podcast of today's program and also links to the article, 45 Tips, Things Successful Job Seekers Do. Have a great day and God bless.